Right now, it's been a roller coaster of a week for immigration policy. Around a week ago, President Trump signed an executive order aimed at limiting the separation of children from their families at the U.S. border. Over 2,300 children had been separated from their families under a policy described by the White House as zero tolerance. Many of those families have not yet been reunited. A federal judge has ordered the government to reunite children and parents who have been separated in detention facilities and set a timeline for the government. Ted Hessen is an immigration reporter with Politico Pro and the author of the Morning Shift newsletter. Ted, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Do we have a sense, Ted, of how many families are separated right now?
I mean, the number that you said of 2,300 families being separated is pretty close to what we've heard out of the Trump administration. The Health and Human Resources Department said earlier this week that it's something like 2,000 children were in their custody that could potentially be reunited. Now, whether that includes all children who've been affected by this policy, I think some advocates would argue it remains unclear.
Let's talk about this court order now from Judge Sabra. What did this order say?
Well, this order came out late Tuesday night, and the order said that the Trump administration needed to reunify these families that were separated at the border, and it needed to do so pretty quickly. For children who are under the age of five, the judge gave the administration 14 days to get them back together with their parents. And for children over that age, basically the rest of them, he gave them 30 days. So this all has to happen relatively quickly under the judge's order. Now, as of now, the Trump administration has not appealed the order at all, and it's not clear if they'll do so.
What would it take to do this?
This would be unprecedented. I mean, there have been family separations at the border before. It's been part of immigration enforcement, but never in a systematic way like this. And I think the administration is working out right now how to do it. I think there are some logistical hurdles. I mean, for one, President Trump has called for all parents who've been caught at the border to remain in detention. Unless they decide to change that policy, it could become tricky. And the reason for that is that children, migrant children who are caught at the border, can't be in detention for more than 20 days, according to a court settlement agreement. So they're going to have to grapple with the idea of maybe wanting to keep parents detained, but having, according to this order, having to reunite them with their kids.
The judge was fairly scathing to the procedures that have been used to separate families and to keep track, or the judge saying not to keep track of the families and where they ended up.
Yeah, the judge actually went as far as saying that the government will track the personal property of detainees in immigration proceedings, but he actually said that it seems like they're doing a worse job tracking migrant children here than they would for property. And he said that there's no way that this can actually satisfy the requirements of due process and that the government has to go back, do a better job, make sure everyone's accounted for, and that they have the opportunity to reunite.
Now, we're seeing stories about people in different stages of this process. In some cases, the adults of the family might be currently being detained by the U.S. government. In some cases, people have already been deported. They're either on the Mexico side of the border or back in their home country in Central America, trying to figure out where their kids are, I guess. What are the different situations people are in now?
I mean, that's right. It's a really open question. I mean, you have parents who potentially could still be in custody, who could be in an immigration detention center. You have some who are in their proceedings. You have some that have been deported, and it's not just to Central America. It could be to any country, I mean, depending on where these families came from and where they were sent back to. So I think that there is a real task here, and it's not even clear to what extent the administration thinks it needs to reunite parents who were deported with their children. They haven't said much about it. Unlike, for instance, other major humanitarian issues that they might tackle, there hasn't been a big press conference where they're laying out exactly what they're doing. It's been fairly silent.
Does the court order apply to that parent who's back, who's been deported to their home country, or does it only apply to the adults currently being in detention?
From my understanding, and I'd have to look more closely, I think it's applied broadly for parents that were separated under this policy. It may remain to, I guess we'll have to see as advocates bring forward cases of people who've been affected by deportations and maybe are still seeking to reunite with their children.
Does the court order say what happens if these timelines for kids, different timelines for kids five and under and older kids, but if the administration isn't reuniting them on that timeline?
That's a great question, and I don't know that the judge's order specifically says it, but my understanding is that the judge or that the administration officials could be held in contempt, and that's something that's been, you know, threatened in the past with immigration policy, that if an administration official is not following a judge's order, that's certainly on the table.
One of the procedures currently in effect, and I believe the judge addressed this, the government is giving out a toll-free number for parents and children to call and try to get reunited. What is the procedure there?
Correct. This has been something that the Health and Human Resources Department has put out. It's a phone number for parents that they can call and potentially reunite with their kids. And, from what top officials there have said, it's easy to use and should be able to help parents locate their children. But there have been complaints that some have used it and haven't been able to find their kids, or that some weren't even aware of the phone number and didn't know to use it.
Talking to immigration reporter Ted Hessen with Politico Pro, a court order says the federal government has to reunite children separated from their families at the border. Still questions about how they're going to go about that. Ted, I want to take a step back. We mentioned that executive order from the president last week aimed at not separating so many parents and children. But there is still this zero tolerance policy officially, I guess, in place. Things are a bit confusing sounding. Can you sort out what's happening now?
It's quite confusing. I mean, just to start off with, the Trump administration's zero tolerance policy essentially said that anyone caught crossing the border would be subject to prosecution, and that meant that families would not be exempted and asylum seekers would not be exempted. Now, the result of that, the policy rolled out in May, and as a result, we saw thousands of children separated from their parents or guardians at the border. And now going forward, pressure has built. There's been a backlash against that, not just Democrats, but Republicans as well, businesses and whatnot. And we saw the president take action and issue this executive order that sought to remedy the problem. Now, his solution for that was to keep families together in a detention setting, which has introduced a whole different range of questions about whether that can be done or not. I mentioned before, there's a court settlement that actually dictates how children are to be treated in immigration detention, and it says that kids shouldn't be kept there for more than 20 days. The administration would like to renegotiate that and hold kids indefinitely, but it's not clear they're going to be able to do that. And in the meantime, it raises questions about whether Trump's order can be carried out effectively.
The alternative seems to have been what President Trump and others have critically called catch and release, where this family with a child, because the child can't be detained, as you say, more than 20 days, and they didn't want to separate them from the family, they would be released sometimes with electronic monitoring and other ways. What were we doing before this?
Before this, when families were caught at the border, the typical practice was to do what you said, catch and release. And it didn't mean necessarily that someone could come into the United States and remain forever. It meant that they would get a court date, a notice to appear, and they could also be given what they called alternatives to detention. And that could be anything from an ankle bracelet to having to check in with a case management officer to having to come to an ICE office and actually make a physical appearance there. So there were ways to deal with people who came into the country without taking the step of splitting up families. It's just that, the administration moved in this direction as a policy.
We're seeing reports now, children, and this has happened to some extent before, I guess, but children appearing for hearings, immigration hearings, three-year-olds appearing without their family, with I don't know what kind of representation. What's going on there?
I mean, it's not new, the idea that children could have arrived in the U.S. unaccompanied or perhaps, been separated from the person they did arrive with because there were concerns about whether it was an actual relative, for instance, or concerns about whether the child might have been in danger in that person's custody. So it has happened in the past. I think it's just so shocking to see this in larger numbers. So it's caught people's attention, the idea that, young children have been left to go through their immigration proceedings, on their own.
Let's turn to Congress for a moment. The House failed to pass this immigration compromise, a compromise between different groups of Republicans. One of the things they were trying to solve, I understand, was family separation. There's talk of, hey, can we pass something that just deals with this family separation issue? What are we seeing in Congress?
I mean, what we've seen in Congress in recent weeks is attempts to take some action on broad immigration reform, but no success. Republicans in particular have pushed, they pushed two bills in the House of Representatives in recent weeks, and both of them were pretty closely aligned with what President Trump would like. He even came out and was tweeting in favor of one of them earlier this week. But even with that, House Republicans were not able to rally enough support of their own party to pass either of the measures. And I think the real reason for that is, and again, I should say these don't just deal with family separations. They're broad immigration bills that would reform the entire immigration system. But still, there just was not enough support amongst hardliners in the Republican Party to go out there and take a vote for those measures.
The way immigration is talked about often, it's almost a, well, immigration crisis is a phrase that people use a lot. From your perspective as an immigration reporter, is this a particularly a tough time for immigration, a high flow of people compared to the past, I don't know, a couple decades?
Yeah, that's the interesting part. The number of people arrested at the border is right in keeping with the level, the average that it's been over the past decade or so. I was looking back at the numbers for May, for instance, and the arrests on the southwest border were almost identical to the average if you took the May throughout the last decade. So it's a sign that, no, it's not at an abnormal high, but for this administration, I think any illegal immigration is going to be a problem. And if you remember President Trump's first year in office, the levels of people trying to cross the border really plummeted. And I think that seeing them tick back up to levels that are more closer to historic norms is not something they're willing to tolerate.
Getting back to the practical side of detention, it looks like, at least for the short term, families might be detained together under this policy, though, again, there's legal questions about that. Do we know where and how and who will be in charge of them?
We don't necessarily know where. We do know that the Defense Department received a request from the Homeland Security Department to identify space for 12,000 beds for families and to have 2,000 of those beds potentially ready within 45 days. So it was a sign that they may be moving on some sort of Defense Department facility. It's not clear exactly where it will be. That was one alternative. Another alternative would be three separate sites with beds spread up between each of those. But again, you know, these are not final. This is a request made to identify this space. You know, it remains to be seen how they move forward.
And if we see a situation where families with children are detained for 20 days and counting, once you cross that 20-day mark, I imagine we would see lawsuits from the ACLU and others?
You could see lawsuits, I mean, if the administration decides to do that, I think, because as of now, they're honoring that 20-day mark in the settlement agreement, and what they're doing is actually going back to court and seeking an adjustment. They're asking the judge to modify it to allow them to hold kids indefinitely alongside their parents. And to, you know, also waive some different regulations that might apply to these family facilities so that they're able to build them expeditiously.
There's a lot up in the air as we wrap up. Ted, what development are you watching for next?
I think we're waiting for more information from the administration on how the family reunification process is going. They've been ordered now by a judge to do it in 30 days, and that's really not a lot of time, you know, for this sort of undertaking. And as I mentioned before, for most people I've spoken with, it's unprecedented. I mean, there's been families separated before, but never done on this scale, and then trying to undo it again a month later on the same scale.
Ted, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
That's Ted Hessen, immigration reporter with Politico Pro and author of the Morning Shift newsletter. He joined us to talk about a recent court order directing the federal government to reunite migrant families that have been separated.